Hey, how's it going? Tommy Taylor here.
And I'm Desnica, and welcome to the Marriage 2.0 podcast.
Couple that went through just about everything bad someone can go through in marriage quadruple times over and came out more in love than ever and using our story to inspire and give hope to the world.
Since we've come out of our version of hell on earth, we have built a global marriage coaching business mentoring hundreds of couples and individuals all around the world.
We've helped them fix issues like affair recovery, communication, intimacy issues, addictions, and all forms of abuse when no one else could.
We've gone through all of these things plus so much more, so we get it.
We tried everything out there from counseling, therapy, intensives, webinars, hundreds of books, and even tactics like slow to speak, quick to listen.
And the truth is, all of those things were just band-aids that left us on an emotional roller coaster from hell.
We truly believe that when you couple a heart for God and a strong desire for massive action, anything is possible.
But honestly, most of us are never given the right knowledge.
The Marriage 2.0 podcast shares interviews from the world's most successful people in business, sports, health, entertainment, and finance in order to help you live the purpose-filled life God designed for you so that you can live an inspiring life filled with more freedom, love, and impact.
So get ready to learn the stuff that no one ever taught you about marriage. Your old marriage is dead and Marriage 2.0 starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode. So today we're going to be talking about really, should you be responsible? It's the topic, should you be responsible for your spouse's happiness?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So a lot of people, like we talk to, really both men and women feel that they're responsible for their spouse's happiness and feel like they ultimately are failing in, you know, maybe a lot of different areas. And this builds a lot of other things too, though.
Absolutely. Or you might be on the side where your spouse has actually told you, hey, you know, I'm not happy and it's your fault. So you have the flip side. So some people just naturally feel like they're responsible for their spouse's happiness and feel like they're failing because, you know, they can't make them happy. Whereas the flip side is your spouse has told you, hey, it's your fault. I'm not happy. You know, even though, you know, you may have, maybe you've been together for like 20 plus years or something, even then, and they're saying, you know, I haven't been happy for 20 years and starting to put that on you saying, hey, like, you have failed, right? So we're going to be discussing this and like, what is the truth to this?
Yeah. And so there's probably a lot of questions, honestly, going on in your head right now. And what we mean by that, there's probably a lot of confusion. There's probably a lot of confliction. There's probably a lot of self-doubt. There's probably a lot of guilt. There's probably a lot of all of those things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, maybe not all of them, but, you know, different bits of them. And maybe, honestly, all of them, too, as well.
And maybe even feeling like a failure, you know, as especially like as your spouse has told you that directly of like, hey, you failed to make me happy and, you know, that's your fault. Or you just like sitting there thinking, hey, like I should have done better. You might be sitting there feeling like that failure because you're recognizing and you're starting to go back and analyze all the areas you should have done better or could have done better. And you're going back through the years and like, oh, I failed here. And, you know, you just sit there and go back and you're overanalyzing your entire relationship. And what happens is like, that's going to spiral. And you've probably even convinced yourself like it's your fault and you didn't do enough. Which if you're in that place of thinking, hey, like I didn't do enough and it's my fault, my spouse isn't happy, then it will have a massive, massive, crippling impact on you emotionally, mentally, physically, and even spiritually.
Yeah. And honestly, this is where people say, okay, it's not just like they're not happy. A lot of times this can be like, they're not happy. They cheated. I'm the reason they cheated. I'm the reason that they're depressed. I'm the reason that they're suicidal. I'm the reason, blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. A lot of people, and I was just literally talking to someone just yesterday, and actually multiple people, this came up about this very topic. And we dove a lot deeper into this, but it's still something that's a big issue that we see literally all the time. And so they end up spiraling basically out of everything.
Absolutely, spiraling downhill further and further. And this is honestly where a lot of people, like as they spiral, start to do more. This is where like all those honeydew type things come in. And, you know, they're like, they're still mad though. And while we want you to have that awareness of, yes, like they're still going to be upset and unhappy because it's impossible. Like it's not for you to make someone else happy. It's impossible to be solely responsible for someone else's happiness. It's something that you will never be able to achieve. And so we just want to start that off by saying this. And so don't check out and be like, oh, well, what is my fault? You're wrong. Just listen and just have an open mindset when we go over this and have some awareness for different things.
Yeah. Also remember, you got to understand, like if what you were doing was working, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So, you know, maybe just be a little humble and take a listen. And just listen to what we have to say. After all, we did go through everything and came out successful on the other side. So maybe we can help you just a little bit, right?
And I'll say, like, this is something that I had struggled with. So I get it. And I thought it was my job to make Tommy happy. And also, I thought he was, you know, I thought it was his job to make me happy. I was like, you failed. I'm like, just people. And I was just like, you suck at this. And, you know, but that's something that he was not capable of. And we're going to dive into why. And so what we're going to be discussing is the reason why this happens to begin with. And we're going to be having a mindset shift and understanding, you know, the correct way. And we want to equip you so that you can gain control over your joy and be in charge of your life where you're not dependent upon someone else.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about the reasons why this happens, mindset shift, and getting control of your joy, just to highlight those three areas. So let's talk about why this happens. Well, number one, obviously, like we said, we see this all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. And the way it shows up in a lot of the time is for a number of different reasons. One, you know, there's the lack of identity, then boundaries, then expectations, and then a complete lack of the right priorities as well. And it's not only in the individual's life, primarily, that is the main thing, but it's also in the marriage as well. And so people feel controlled and lose themselves, but they're the ones that gave the remote away. Mm. They gave the remote away to their life, to someone else, or most likely a good chunk of everyone else, to be really honest with you. And this is a person that is normally really puts themselves last in a lot of everything, not everything, but usually a lot of everything, and then blames their circumstances, other people for their lack of control, purpose, identity, and joy in life.
Yes. And this goes back to, you know, identity is such a huge aspect, and it is something that's massively being attacked in our society right now. But it goes back to people have their identity wrapped up in their spouse, in their kids, in different roles. You know, a lot of caretaking roles. I can't tell you how many people have their identity into, like, I'm a fixer, you know, in those, or I'm just a provider. And then it's super common. And this is also where I felt like I was like, I am a mom. Like, that's who I am. And, you know, or it could be dad. So all of these aspects, like, your identity is huge. And so when you're placing it in everything that's not, like, the true sound who you are, it's going to put you in a very emotional roller coaster spot. There's going to be no solid foundation. And then you're going to be seeking, like, that approval from all of these different things. It's going to lead to a lot of chaos and confusion for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of people in this specific situation label the relationship they're in as abusive, controlling, manipulative, toxic, but here's a big giant, but they fail to get out of the main toxic relationship they're in first. They're like, wait, what? Like, yeah, it's honestly way more toxic as well. And I will tell you, it's the one they have with themselves.
Oh, I feel like we need to say that again and highlight what toxic relationship we're talking about.
Yeah, the most toxic relationship most people have, and I'm not saying healthy individuals like us, but the most toxic relationship people have is actually with themselves.
Yes.
Not your spouse, not your family. It is ultimately with yourself, because here's the truth. If you change the relationship you have with yourself, you change other relationships anyways.
Absolutely.
And you won't ever change the relationship or your outside circumstances, no matter what it is, unless you change your relationship with yourself first. But most people look outwardly when it's inwardly that they need to be looking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is, again, like going back to like our season of Hell on Earth, we had incredibly toxic relationships with ourselves, and we projected that on each other and went into like victimhood and just all kinds of chaos, right? And so this is, and it took a lot, and I'll speak for myself on this. It took a lot for me to have that humility and be able to admit this. And so that's you. Like, if you struggle with that aspect, it doesn't make you a bad person, but it does say like, just like, hey, let's just have some self-awareness here, because it's actually really empowering when you recognize that, hey, I do have control over my life. Like, it's not, you know, everyone else, like, no, but you, like, you have more power than you give yourself credit for. And it is so, so freeing and empowering when you really take that on and embrace that for life.
And when she says a lot, you have no idea how a lot and a lot that was in my perspective. So, yeah, just anyways, we'll move on. But people also have a lot of, you know, moving on to expectations, people have a lot of expectations, really a lot of unmet expectations, not yeah. only in their own head that go to unmet and unspoken that lead to a lot of resentment, but also a lot of the wrong priorities as well. So there's just kind of like two things coupled into one topic here, but it's so important because people, yeah, expectations, we're not going to dive too deep into that, but basically it's self-explanatory. People have a lot of expectations that they don't state, whether it's from previous going into the marriage, what they think it's going to be like, what they think it should be like. I blame Disney and Hallmark for a lot of this crap. But regardless, either way, they think they have this idea of what love is. And a lot of people have this like weird idea of happiness and joy. It's like, oh, they're gonna sweep me off my feet, my Prince Charming, and take me forever. Ever and ever, happily ever after. That's not freaking real life.
They're going to give me butterflies every day for the rest of my life.
No, that's I'm sorry to tell you, no one is like that ever. This is world. This is real life. This is not how that works.
And real love is more than just butterflies. Like, real agape love is more than just eros love and more than just infatuation.
Yeah. So, it's also not like, a lot of people think it's like somebody just, I feel like this is what people think about love. I feel like people think it's just going to happen magically. And it's just some like magical fairy dust that just like gets sprinkled on you.
And it's not.
And it's not. That's not real love. That's a load of crap in your head.
Yeah. And, you know, and it comes from a lot of different things. And like Tommy did mention Disney and Hallmark, those are two of the big ones, but there comes from a lot of other things, social programming, like just a lot of different aspects. But another area, you know, in that priority aspect is people have the wrong priorities. We see this all the time. I can't tell you how common this is. It's actually very rare for people to have priorities in the right order. And what does that mean? Like, priorities in the right order is God first, and meaning like actually first, you in a self-care way, not selfish, but you in a self-care way second. Most people don't even put themselves on the radar, right? So
if anything, it's if it is on the radar, it is most likely last.
Yeah, last. And then, you know, some people put themselves on, and this is like on the flip side, but it's from that selfish, like arrogance way of like, you'll do everything that I want. And like, that's not what taking care of you in a self-care way means.
No.
So, you know, there's a strong balance there, but making sure, so the right priorities, God first, you in a self-care way, then your marriage and spouse, then your kids, then your work and purpose, then your family and friends, you know? And so, and this is something that I had done. Most people put themselves last and they pour from an empty cup. And what happens is your cup doesn't just stay empty. It fills up with bitterness and resentment and confusion, especially because what happens is you wind up losing yourself. And this is where a lot of people hit like midlife crises and those type of stuff. It's not a midlife crisis, it's identity. It's an identity crisis. And like, what about me? When will I matter? Like, what about my thoughts, my feelings, like my goals, you know? And I understand that breaking point because I hit it. I just happened to be like in my 20s when I did, because that's what, it's not a midlife. It's truly just an identity.
Yep.
So I just wanted to head on that because it's really important and just to have that awareness.
Absolutely. So mindset shift, let's talk about this, is the next big topic here. And so you're responsible for your own happiness. It's an inside job. Mm-hmm. Let's just be very honest about that. Your happiness is your job. Your joy is your job. To be honest, that whole joy acronym, Jesus first, others second, you third, is a load of crap. So Jesus first always, yes, but the other parts of that is garbage. So don't subscribe to that crap. Anyways, let's go back to the topic here. So joy is your job. Happiness is your job. Peace is your job. All those things are your job. And to be honest, it's such an unrealistic expectation to think someone else can make you happy for the rest of your life. And I was just, I actually had this type of, this conversation was like twice yesterday, actually, that I had this come up. And it's one of those things where, you know, they were like, well, my spouse cheated back then because I was not present or I wasn't doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. I was like, you're wrong. You're not right. You're wrong. I was like, I've done deep-rooted beliefs and issues with thousands of people. And what I will tell you is like, that's not accurate. You're telling me that for the rest of your life, you got to maintain exactly perfectionism for the rest of your life on exactly what they want or else they're going to cheat. Mm. No, that's not accurate.
I would not want to subscribe to that sort of pressure and just that like amount of responsibility, and especially with how impossible it is, because you know I spent a lot of time trying to make you happy, Tommy, when we were in Hell on Earth. Like I did a lot.
And it
ultimately like it failed, right? Over and over and over again it failed. So I could not imagine living in that state of chaos like the rest of my life. And when I say like the amount of peace I have now is indescribable, there's literally not words to describe the amount of peace and calmness that I have and how I do not feel responsible for anyone else, like anyone, like and not a single person, because like, you know, yes, I am responsible to like my kids and I have responsibility to Tommy, like to show up on my part, but to make them happy and like be responsible for that for them.
Nope.
A lot of people just are like they want that peace and stability, but yet they're still under this like I have to make people happy. And it's most people in this aspect, it's not even just their spouse. They feel like they have to make their kids happy, their spouse happy. They feel like they have to make their friends happy, and they literally create their own chaos, you know. And so
yep. You, if you're that person, create your own emptiness, depression, lack of happiness, lack of peace, lack of joy, and chaos.
Yeah.
Well, and plus chaos, not lack of chaos, chaos. So you create all of that in your life, just to let you know you're responsible for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I just want to put a couple of things in perspective for you. And, you know, inside, like even inside Tommy's head right now, like in this very moment, Tommy has thoughts, different beliefs, past memories, all of these things going on in his mind, which I am not Tommy. I will never be Tommy. I will never have the exact same experience seeing things exactly the way he does. Like, you know, no, like we're different people. Like we all have our own different lens. And to think that I can control those inner thoughts, the past memories, the thought, like all aspects of what's going on in his mind is impossible. And very defeating to have that think, like that thought process of like, oh, like I'm going to control him. No. Right. And
not everybody can be this amazing anyway. So,
right? You know, I think you're pretty amazing, but within that aspect, it's very defeating. Right. But how empowering and how peaceful it is to know like, hey, you know, Tommy does have his own thoughts and aspects. And not only that, I want to honor and respect him. And in doing so, I give him freedom to be him. Like he does have his own thoughts, his own patterns, and like all, because he's Tommy. And so it's a very honoring and has a lot of respect for me to just not be trying to control his mind and make him show up a certain way. And it gives freedom for people to be their authentic selves too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it comes down to it, you want to make sure that like you recognize like in healthy relationships, there's an environment that is conducive to a safe place that supports each other emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It also aids in happiness. Yes. In a hostile environment doesn't, you know, aid in like, you know, purpose, you know, being able to progress in life. Like, yes. And if your environment can dictate your destiny in a lot of different ways. But I look at it more of, because people bring up this quote a lot of the times here and use it as a weapon. They'll say like, well, you're the average of the five people you're around the most. I believe you're the average of the five people you let influence you the most. So I don't believe environment ultimately at the end of the day dictates your happiness, your joy, your peace, all of those things. A lot of people think this way, but I mean, ultimately, if if you choose to cultivate your own happiness, your own purpose, your own knowledge, your own vision, your own purpose, you can still have all of those things in a crappy environment. I always go back to Paul in the Bible in jail, happy as it can be, right? And so, and as joyful as it can be. So, and thriving, and even in jail in a lot of different ways too. So, you know, when it comes down to it, it's not about your environment really as much. Yes, that helps. And it will, a positive environment, a good environment, being around the right people, encouraging people, being around the people that like lift you up. Yes, that's important. Yeah. But ultimately, it's not, it doesn't have to stop you from cultivating joy. Joy's internal thing.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that aspect, and with the whole like letting people, you know, influence you there, you know, in our society, the society we live on, even sitting here listening to the podcast, right? Like this is part of, you know, what's influencing you. So most people, you know, it depends on like what you're listening to. It depends on what you're watching, those types of things. So if you spend only, you know, like 30 minutes with someone in your house, but then you go spend hours watching TV, you're going to be most influenced by whatever show you're watching, right? So just keep those types of things in mind as well, in that. So while we all have our, like our position, like, so yes, I do my role, like my part of creating a safe environment in our family, but and not doing that hostile environment. So just recognize, like, yes, you have responsibility for your own part, but at the end of the day, that's still not an excuse. It's still not something to be like, oh, they failed, you know, and they made a hostile place, so it's their fault I'm not happy. So just taking that responsibility for yourself, because at the end of the day, like, you're not responsible for their happiness, like, no matter what. So what all of this means is essentially you've just never been taught how to be a healthy individual or have a strong, solid foundation.
Yeah. Take ownership. Take ownership. Take extreme ownership, right? It's time to take ownership. It's time to take responsibility. You are responsible for 100%. You're responsible for everything you create or allow in your life, right? So you have to choose to take responsibility for your joy, your happiness, your peace, all those things. And so how do you gain control of that though? Well, most people are like, okay, well, the first thought that pops into most people's heads is like, I need to set boundaries. Okay. Yes. Yes. You need to set boundaries. Not yet, but you do need to. Yes. 100%. Like, and honestly, most people just don't even do it right in the first place. They do it wrong on so many different levels. Number one, most people just set a bunch of rules in place to get their own way in life, and in a petty way to rebel and not even set real boundaries in the first place. Mm-hmm. Honestly, here's the truth. You cannot even set boundaries and stick to them without knowing key things. You have to know different things. You have to know, because, and I'll explain why, but you have to know your identity, clear identity, very, very clear. You have to know your values, very, very clear on that. You have to know your core beliefs, your principles, your vision, your goals, your purpose. Why do you have to know all these things just to implement boundaries? Well, all these things dictate the direction of your life, the way that you live your life, the way that what you're protecting in your life. And if you don't know these things, when we say know them, we mean embody them too.
Yes, absolutely.
So just to be clear on that and have extreme clarity on them, then you won't stick to any boundaries, much less even know what you're even protecting in the first place. So you have to have boundaries, yes, but boundaries are really, they're important, don't get me wrong, but they're also just a small piece of the puzzle when it comes to actually gaining control over your life and actually doing a lot of things that you need to be doing to put things into perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like that small piece, like those boundaries are, if you notice, like identity was one of the first things that we had said. And that's, I'll say, like, that's the biggest thing that I see, like, in that's at being attacked by the enemy in our society today. You know, even after like all the travel that we've done and just like the interactions with the thousands of people that we interact with, you know, that is a massive one. So, you know, it's just knowing that all of those things come into place in gaining control over your life and just knowing, hey, like what's mine, what's not mine, how do I cultivate, how do I do this, create joy in my own life? All of those things do play a massive role. And the key to gaining control over your life is not outward. You cannot gain control of your life by looking outward, but you have to look inward. And you also have to take the remotes back from everyone you've passed them out to. And, you know, you are the one who's in charge of you. And that's it. Only you.
Yeah. You can only control four things in life. So you can only control the thoughts you choose to dwell on, the images you choose to see, the words you choose to say, and the actions you choose to take. Let me ask you, is any of that outward? No. It's all inward. So that needs to be taken into account too. But also it's important to like understand you have to build all the right foundations in all the key areas. This is what we always say. It's the same thing every time because it's so true. There's only one real answer to it. And so you have to build all the right foundations and mindset. That's the first phase we teach our clients in a program. Then we go into individual phase. You have to build all the aspects of being a true, healthy individual in every area. And then, of course, marriage and then tools last. But if you keep relying on tools and tactics alone and trying to implement boundaries, and I use giant air quotes there, or if you try to implement, so to speak, quick to listen, or trying to please your spouse in all these different ways and trying to be the best spouse, looking up 10 ways to be the best spouse, whatever, right, blah, 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 blah. None of that stuff is going to work. You have to build all of the right foundations, or tools and tactics are just going to keep you on the emotional roller coaster permanently.
Absolutely. You know, and in that aspect, most like a lot of people have this like fleeting thought of like, oh, like I have to go find myself and spend like all this time. And, you know, actually finding yourself is rather easy. And, you know, it's most of it's unlearning, to be honest. But, you know, all of those things that we had mentioned earlier, like identity, core beliefs, principles, vision, goals, purpose, like all of that plays a role in the healthy individual. And that's why we teach that to our clients, because without that, you can't work on any relationship, no relationship. You can't work on the relationship and show up different with your kids. You can't show up differently at work, with your parents, any relationship, friends. So that is like, you have to work on that as an individual and be that healthy individual before any relationship. And that's why we teach that before we dive into the marriage.
Yep. Because if you go to work on the marriage first, honestly, you've already failed.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that. You have to be two healthy individuals to have a healthy marriage. Therefore, you can't work on the marriage. So when it boils down to it, you have to understand like, no, it's not your fault that you weren't taught these things.
No, it's not.
Whatsoever. And we're not blaming you. We're not like a friend of mine said, shooting on you, right? It's one of those things where, you know, it's just, you have to take ownership of this. These are things that are 100% your choice to control moving forward from this exact moment in time. It's your choice. You may not have known before, but now you do know on what your next action step is. And it should be to reach out and get help. It's this very second, you know right now what to do. And remember, joy and happiness and peace is all on you.
Absolutely. And so take that not as like to put you in like the whole victim state of like, oh, see, I didn't know. I don't know. And like, it's the world against me. No, take it as very empowering of, hey, you, like no one else, go look in the mirror. You have power. You have the ability to change your life and to change every relationship and to change generations. It's just going to be up to you to take those actions.
Absolutely. But we love you. God loves you. And he always wants to see you and your marriage restored. And we will see you next time on the podcast. Have a good one. Bye. Now that's all we have for today's show. And remember, prayer without action is just dead faith. So make sure to implement everything you learned here today from today's show.
By the way, hope you enjoyed this episode on the Marriage 2.0 podcast. And if you did, please make sure you share this episode on your social media and tag at Tommy and Desnica. And if you did enjoy it, make sure to subscribe to the Marriage 2.0 podcast and give us a 5-star rating.
However, listen, most importantly, so many people are at the end of their ropes, crying themselves to sleep every night. And we can only spread our message and story so far here. So we need you to make sure that you really share the knowledge with others that really need it so that we can impact them.
Yes, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So make sure to join our free Facebook group, Christian Marriage Coaching, for support, daily content, and free trainings to help you go from roommates to teammates.
Have an amazing day, and God bless.